It's PacView's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Shree, special guest host Jackie Danowski from Flywheel, and I'm PVSB, also from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 29th, an ACDS annual week, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them masterfully intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com, it's retail right now. Sheree, lead us off, would you?
Albertsons has been named the 2024 winner of the Webby Award for People's Voice Top Shopping and Retail App. I am so immensely proud of the shopper experience team, our engineering counterparts, and all of our cross-functional partners across the organization. Cheers to your hard work and customer obsession, said Jill Pavlovich, SVP of Customer Experience at Albertsons. 23 individual Albertsons associates were recognized in earning this award. Congratulations to all of you, and over to you, Melissa.
Best Buy and CNET are combining their ad inventory. Consumer electronics retailer Best Buy and digital publisher CNET are teaming up to create a new retail media model. The electronics retailer and the publisher are combining their ad inventory, allowing advertisers to buy across Best Buy Ads retail media network and alongside CNET's tech review-focused editorial content, and measure whether ads seen on either platform drove sales. In a month-long survey during which CNET content was displayed nationally across Best Buy's in-store TV walls, 86% of respondents said the content made them more confident in their purchases. It also garnered a 25% lift in purchase intent, according to the companies. Super interesting space as retailers continue to look for differentiation.
Thank you, Melissa. The National Association of Chain Drugstore annual meeting set to take place this week in Palm Beach, Florida. The annual meeting of the NACDS is set to begin Sunday, April 27th at the Breakers Hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Featured speakers include Walter Isaacson and Arthur C. Brooks. NACDS annual is noted for the strategic meetings that transpire between retailers, consumer goods manufacturers, sales and marketing agencies, and other ecosystem service partners. If you're on a budget, make sure to get a hot dog at the poolside restaurant at $27. It is the least expensive menu entree offered at this five-star resort. Brian, Sheree, and Andrea are all in attendance this year. Closing it out, Jackie.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free hits shelves. Red Bull is launching a new permanent sugar-free edition this summer. Red Bull Pink Edition Sugar-Free combines raspberry and forest fruits with herbal notes of verbena. It is the second new variant introduced by the brand this year, and the first fully sugar-free flavor in its portfolio, aiming to attract new shoppers to the category. Red Bull editions have been largely incremental to the brand, with 50% of edition buyers being new to Red Bull as they grow their flavor offering.
Thank you, Jackie, and welcome as a guest host to the Fresh Four. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. I don't know about you, Sheree, but I've missed in-person events. I am really looking forward to Grocery Shop coming up in Las Vegas the 19th to the 22nd of September. And if you haven't heard of it, you need to tune in more because we've been talking about it for quite a number of weeks.
Peter, what a great event, man. We're talking over 150 speakers, so many keynotes from who's who in the industry, executives from companies like Kroger, Ahold, Delhaize, Walgreens, Target, Google, and a whole bunch of others, including a ton of CPG, Fortune 500 brands. Go check out the full list online. It's impressive. Get your flights booked because it's right around the corner in Vegas.
Should be some fun networking too, Sheree. It's going to be great to see people in person. I'm going to be there, so come hang out with us.
But for those who want to learn more about Grocery Shop, of course, the easiest way is always going to be the website at www.groceryshop.com.
Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sheree Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sheree and Peter. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the CPG Guys podcast. I'm PVSB, one of the aforementioned CPG Guys. I'm also the VP of Partner Strategy and Development at Fetch Rewards Mobile Loyalty Program. And as always, I am joined on this educational journey about how brands and retailers engage consumers by my very good friend and a thought leader in the consumer packaged goods world. He's always curious, which I think makes him an ideal podcast partner. Please join me in welcoming the other CPG guy, the man known as Sri. Sri, how are you, man?
Hello, my dear man with the radio voice, also known lovingly as 007. Peter, what a time in history. And I'm not referring to inflation. I'm not referring to the economics of this country. The baseball season is coming to an end. It looks like Dodgers and Yankees are both going to compete. And on top of that, Peter, the Giants are 0-3 in preseason. I'm sure you all love that.
Oh, it's a tough one. So, Sri, tell me about the West Coast. Are you enjoying it? Have you gone? Are you getting to see any great sights? Like, I love the Getty. Have you been to the Getty yet?
The Griffith Observatory, we've seen it from a distance. Yeah. I have hiked the Griffith Observatory. It's funny you ask me this question. Kavita is literally taking my daughter to the Griffith Observatory for a class project today. What are the odds you would ask me that
question? I love the Griffith. I love the Art Deco design. It's one of my favorites.
Mr. Bond, guess who's picking her up late at night today after the class project finishes?
It's yours.
Mr. Worldwide.
Brilliant. Now, have you made it out to Chavez?
No, Peter. I haven't made it out to believe it or not, this is sad. I haven't made it out to a single restaurant. After moving from New York City to LA so that we can be in a car and drive, we're using Uber Eats.
You know, Sri, you got to get out to Dodger Stadium. I hear they have the best record in baseball right now. They are in first place, Sri. I don't know if you picked up the newspaper this morning, but they're in first place.
No, Peter, can you believe Sri is behind all this baseball news? So you know what's going on in my life in that case.
Well, you got a lot of things to check out. I'm envious. Enjoy yourself out in La La Land. But before we get to our guest, I want to remind our audience that all of our content, we've got like 124 episodes now, Sri. Can you believe that? We just crossed 100,000 downloads. Seriously, Sri, what's going on with that?
Peter, you and I both know when we started this, we never envisioned that'll happen in like a 12-month cycle. You know what, Peter? Here we are.
But we're on 40-plus platforms, virtual assistants. You can ask them to play the CPG guys. And, you know, I think we don't charge anything for this, do we, Sri? It's all free. It's all free. We also say if you're not already following us on LinkedIn, please just go to LinkedIn and enter in CPG guys. And when you get to our page, click the follow button because then you get to see all the stuff we're posting. We don't just post links to our podcast. There's a lot of other content that we hope you find valuable. That's how we treat it. Again, that's also free. So just check it out. All right. Increasingly, Sri and I agree that video and live streaming are the mediums of choice for marketers to engage consumers, particularly on their websites. You know, e-commerce businesses, publishers, and advertisers are really seeking to create platforms that deliver engaging user experiences on their sites. Web stories traditionally only gave users an engaged experience on social media, but now brands and retailers can give their customers an engaged content experience they are familiar with right on their own websites. So the CPG guys have partnered with a company called Firework on a two-episode series to explore how web stories significantly enrich user experience on brand and retail websites, dramatically accelerating the path to purchase. Imagine that. So here to speak with us about the use of web stories as a consumer engagement tool is Firework's founder and CEO. Please join Sri and me in welcoming to the podcast, Vincent Yang. Vincent, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Peter? Thank you for having me.
We're really excited. Sri and I, this is like right up our alley about the kind of stuff that fascinates us about how the user experience is dramatically changing. And we talk a lot about shoppable media and content and what the experience is like and trying to improve the experience on a brand site. That's really, really exciting. Now, before we get to the questions we have for you, you know, our audience loves to learn while they're listening. So they're probably going to want to go check out your site. And while we'll post a link in the digital liner notes, can you let people, first of all, know where they should go on the web to learn more about Firework? And then can you just give us a little bit of an overview of what your business is?
Yes. So thank you, Peter. So everyone can know more about it just by searching Firewort. It should come up, you know, onto the tops, or firewort.tv is our website. So, and a little bit introduction of the company. So we are, a lot of people view us the B2B version of TikTok. So we basically empowers every single brands, every single website to do short video and live stream on their own website, not on their socials. So we as a business have raised a total of 85 million so far. We are the largest one in the sectors, and we grow very fast. So with 3-year-old companies, now we have 200 people. Most of us are based in Silicon Valley in New York, but also we cover about 6 different countries, from Tokyo to France in Japan to Europe, to Latin, to Russia, and all the way to India. So that's where we are right now.
Well, that's really helpful. Thank you for that, Vincent. And I learned about you through one of the people on your leadership team, Jason Holland, who I worked with during my time at dunnhumby. So you got a real firecracker there for Firework, and I love Jason. I'm sure you do too. That's why he's on your team. So why don't we get to the questions? We got some really interesting ones. I know Sheree and I are hungry to get to that. Let me start out with something that's a little bit kind of broader. I think Sheree and I both agree that we're really witnessing a revolutionary shift in how retailers, brands, media agencies, and particularly in the United States, North America, Western Europe, you know, the Western markets are really envisioning digital consumer engagement. And I think we both agree that, Sheree, that the Eastern countries are substantially, when we think about Asia in particular, substantially more advanced. But the West is really kind of changing right now. What are your thoughts around this?
Yes. So I think we've seen a lot of the change as well in consumer behaviors. I think there's a lot starting from the kind of millennials and the Gen Zs. As you can see, most of them prefers content. Their default content format is short videos, not text, right? Because they don't have a long attention span. You know, recently some news talk about, you know, people's attention span is less than 6 seconds now. So it's actually very, very short. So what we are seeing in total is about traditional in the Western market, we talk about television. Right now, everybody talk about is mobile phone from the huge screens now into the smaller screen. So that's kind of the first trend we're seeing. And of course, everybody already know about this. Second big trend we're seeing is about people actually shifted from a lean back environment, lean back on a sofa watching TV, now toward lean in, right? So not only do you just want a passive content consumption, they actually want to interact. We see a lot of consumers, they actually wanted to interact with the brands. They want to be part of the brand. They don't want to just be the receiver end of what's happening. They want to chat. They want to they want to talk. They want to see what's behind the scenes. So that's also something that's actually very, very interesting so far.
I'll tell you, when you just described my 2.5-year-old daughter. She's got a six second attention span, and she leans forward into my wife's iPhone. That is exactly what is happening in this country.
Right.
The one, yes, sir. You know, Vincent, the biggest observation, you know, coming from a brand background and having been with some of the largest brands in the world, I'll tell you one of the biggest challenges in this 6 second kind of mindset time frame that today's shoppers and consumers have, right? One of the challenges the industry faces is traditionally marketing has shaped itself to be in 30 second chunks. You know, that's how TV ran. And today you can press the fast forward button in usually skip ad. The word is skip ad in YouTube or the streaming media within 5 or 6 seconds. You know, used to be 5, now it tends to be 6. So you basically refer to the 6 second attention span. How does a brand, Vincent, create a story in 6 seconds?
That's actually.
And for the record, Vincent, I want to let our listeners know, Vincent gave me true rein to unleash today. So here we are. We've changed the script.
So that's actually, you actually asked a million-dollar question. So it's actually very, very hard, because all the brands that they're still very used about television, right? So 30-second, which is guaranteed, where you cannot swipe. How do you swipe a television ad? You cannot. So people think a lot of time about storylines, about great things show up, the Super Bowl in the final second. But guess what? Average attention span for Snapchat ads is 1.3 seconds. 1 point, because 6 seconds is people's average attention span for a short video. But as soon as a consumer realizes this is an ad, you know what they do? They swipe out ASAP. So now you literally got, you think people are going to do, a lot of people just mistakenly think the video duration means the time, right? Hey, I got a 30-second ad. But guess what? Nobody really watched the 30-second. They don't even give you 1 second. It, you know, to be honest, I do think it created a very big challenge, what we are seeing, right? So hopefully Fiverr is part of the solution for them. We'll talk a lot about it. But right now, you know, most of the brands, that, in particular younger generation, they really, really feel it's very challenging. How do we really engage with the younger generation in this new norm, in this new consumer behavior? So everybody is really trying to figure out now.
Vincent, I have a two-part. Peter, I'm really loving this. I got a two-part attachment to that, Vincent. The first part is, you know, TikTok, right? TikTok is here. TikTok is here in advertising. It is the social media platform of today and tomorrow. It is not a temporary phenomenon. And it's, I refuse to believe it's the below 16-year-olds. TikTok is used by a lot of individuals across several generational cohorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Should the CPG guys have a TikTok channel? That's an easy one, Vincent guy.
I think you should. I think you should. And
Peter, yeah, take the message, man.
We have one. We just have only published one video, Sri. Now
I know it's a problem. That's because we said we're not. Look at Vincent telling us, the king of the 6 second ad is telling us, Sri, we got to have a channel.
I believe that there may be some people in your family who are quite prodigious TikTok content creators. I think we need to leverage some in-house resources to help the CPG guys.
Sounds like we have to. And Vincent, the second part of that question is, in that world where obviously TikTok is becoming super important to a conversation, multi-generational, what role does Fiverr play with TikTok?
Yes. So that's a very good question. So goes back to what we do. So we are not TikTok. We are the B2B version of TikTok. A lot of people say, what do you mean? Right. So let me give an analogy. The way how we compete with TikTok is the same way how Shopify compete with Amazon. So Amazon is a B2C. Everybody go to Amazon, right? But there are so many brands who say, well, I want to control my own destinations, right? I don't want to just, yes, Amazon has traffic. Everybody knows the reason why they create an Amazon account is there's a tons of traffic. But what people didn't realize is you have to share the traffic with 30 million merchants. Now, the same thing with TikTok. On the one side, 3M Peter, I really encourage you to create a TikTok account, right? That's great because, you know, it's a very interesting format, right? But here's the challenge. Everybody was rushing into TikTok. Why? There's traffic. But the fact that there doesn't mean you will have the traffic, right? Because you have to share the traffic with 20 million teenager boys and girls who's very good at lip sync, at belly dances, right? It's like in the farmer's market. So that's the first case that people realize. That's why in the world we have Amazon. We also have Shopify, which is a $200 billion business, right? It gives every single brand a way to have its own Amazon. Now, so does Fiverr. I also say this to many, many brands I talk to. Everybody says TikTok has traffic. I'm like, yes, TikTok has huge traffic. But listen, bluntly, is TikTok built for business? Is TikTok built for brands? Is Instagram, if you ask all Kevin, if you ask Evan in Snapchat, is when you build Snapchat, who are you building Snapchat for? Is it building for business? No, Snapchat is built for consumer to express themselves. Brand is just a tag along. Because why? Because brand just tag along wherever there's traffic is, but it's not built for brands. Now the same thing, right? TikTok is not built for brand. There's so many business, right? There's one brand we are talking to. They spent 5 years, cannot get 100,000 followers on social. But guess what? Their own website had 30 million visitors per month. And I was like, well, you got 30 million people coming to your website every single month. Why are you focusing elsewhere? Right? So this is something that's very interesting.
Fantastic explanation, by
that's
the way.
That's great. Hey, so Vincent, in talking to Jason, I know you guys have a bit of a vision to disrupt, support and connect across a multi-sided market at scale. So how are you and Fiverr planning to do that? And how do you think you can scale so quickly? I mean, what's the secret sauce there?
Yes. So now dialing back to Fiverr. So our goal is actually to empower every single website. So now let's look at the data. There are 350 million websites in the world, 350 million websites in the world. And every single website is built in a very old technology, WordPress, right? And even Shopify is a great company, but has not changed too much on the forefront in the last 15 years, still pretty much text and images. So isn't that interesting? On one side where you visit TikTok and Instagram and Snapchat, it's full screen short video, right? 70% of content is short video and live stream. But on the other hand, on the open web, 100% content is text and images. There's zero short videos and live stream. That's why for me as an entrepreneur, it's a no-brainer, right? We bring that experience to every single website. Okay, because of that, we break down website into two parts. One type of website are what we call media company, whether they are a publisher, whether they are a blog. So they use Fiverr to upgrade their user experience, right? So instead of competing with 20 million teenager boys and girls, they don't compete with anyone. They just use this new format on their own website. That's half of our business, is helping publishers, helping media companies, etc. And then the second half of business is help e-commerce website, helping travel website, having retailers, having, you know, realtors, etc. on their site. That's what we do. But now, Peter, when you ask the question, and then what our main goal is to connect the two, because they're using a common infrastructure. Now, any business, any brands, when they're doing a short video live chat on their own website, they can just click a button and will find the most relevant publisher and put their content onto it right away to amplify their content to the most relevant audience right there.
So I want to get a little bit, Vincent, into your services, but the question I have for you is, you obviously have Fiverr for Business and you have Fiverr for Publishers. There's a creative element to this, which is, what is the 6-second story? And then there's a whole technology infrastructure to support this, right? Can you take us a little bit behind the scenes? If a brand chooses to partner with Fiverr, how does all this come together? Like, what's the oil and the different machine parts here that a consumer finally sees on a website front end as a 6-second ad?
Exactly. So I will show you an example. Let's say a classic brand, you know, I will use an example as a D2C brand, right? Somebody selling whatever stuff, selling, you know, cloth lines and on their own website. The integration with Fiverr is actually less than 5 minutes. So if they're using WordPress, Shopify, WooCommerce, Wix, and all the other well-known CMS platform as their fundamental, you know, the website CMS, we have a one-click integrations to have the short video and live stream container outside of the website, right? So that's very easy. And then they can just use Fireworks. So we have something called Fiverr camera, but our camera is very different from Snapchat camera. Snapchat camera is making your video be funny. It's turning your head into emoji, an emoji, right? And what we focus on function. We wanted to help all the e-commerce input to sell better. So our camera, right, connects deeply into your Shopify, connects deeply to your WordPress. And whatever you do on the Fiverr camera shows directly on your very own website, right? So they use Fiverr. Once the integration done, then they're using Fiverr to create content, edit content, host content, stream content, present content. So that's kind of how they're using Fiverr as a brand. We see brands, the first day they're starting to use Fiverr, and by the way, all of our product is self-service. You can just do it on the website yourself, right? We've seen some brands just from the beginning to actually turning their entire experience to be, you know, using short video live stream within less than a day.
So I want to clarify a couple of things there. I assume the creative is still bought by the agency or the brand's agency, the actual creative, and then there's an opportunity to test and refine before it's published?
Yes. You can test and refine, you can approve everything, right? It's the same thing how you do content on TikTok, upload content on TikTok, Instagram. But now remember, now, because we turn your entire website into, you know, this TikTok experience, now you just approve the content on your website. But there's something you mentioned, it's very interesting. There's a very interesting counterintuitive thought I'm thinking about. So a lot of people think doing creative, we need to go to agency, it's commercial grade. It's like a lot of people shy away from doing videos, right? Because they think we need to have a celebrity, et cetera. You know what? So what we are seeing from a data perspective, it's actually contrary, it's the opposite. Sometimes having your employees having your sales assistant talking about content, facing the camera right away, without staging, without commercial style, is actually even better than, you know, doing these things the other way around. We wanted to democratize content creation for the business folks. Tell them you don't need to be a TikTok to create content, right? So that's what we really wanted to focus on.
You hear that? Content democratization. I love that. That is great. Vincent, I can say that when we talk to both interviewees on this podcast and frankly what we hear from our listeners is their interest in doing this kind of stuff and create this kind of meaningful content, but they seem to be relegated, as you mentioned, to only being able to do that in social media because their own site platforms just didn't have that ability to do it. And it seems like what you're offering them is now exactly what they are being able to do through social media. They can now do on their own sites. They're really trying to figure out about then what is the best practice. And I think you kind of touched on it with getting the content out there and making it authentic is very important. So you can you give us a little bit more about the markets where you see in particular Firework having a substantial value for telling short stories that'll help drive conversion?
Yes, absolutely. So I think, Peter, you mentioned something very important. It's called authenticity, right? This is a very big consumer shift. My parents' generation, whatever on TV is legit. Everything on TV is true, right? So now I have two young daughters. So to my young daughters, whatever on YouTube is legit. Whatever YouTubers say, they said that YouTuber said, you know, watching television doesn't hurt my eyesight. You are wrong because YouTube told me this way. It's very different, right? It's no longer television. It's because they prefer anything they feel like it's in a commercial, they just swipe out, right? But anything they feel like is authentic, it's a real person. It's a real person talking to me, how they do the makeups, how they do the dress up, people tend to be more influenced by them for what I call the digital born generation. The brands, I think, all need to change the way how they think about it, right? To be more authentic. Okay, so yeah, three, go ahead.
Are you saying, Vincent, we have just created a new dictionary, Peter? It used to be the Webster's, then we had Wikipedia, and now, Peter, it's YouTube.
My daughter Nadia, she lives on YouTube. She knows how to swipe, and how her stickiness and how long, to Vincent's point, she stays on a particular thing because she's watching, she's scrolling, and if at any point she gets bored with it, and it isn't informing her, and she doesn't think it's authentic, that's when she changes. I think you're spot on, Vincent.
I got to tell you, Peter, I had a leaking AC and an Airtran RX 80 in my new home. Yeah. I used YouTube to figure out what was the problem, and it came down to changing a filter.
I use YouTube on how to change the light bulb in the front of my car, on literally anything. Somebody has created that content. So sorry to go off on a tangent, Vincent, but you're so spot on.
But I want to come back to YouTube, Vincent, for a second, right? Like, I just want to come back to that platform, right? YouTube has obviously been here a long time. You know, probably closer to 15, 18 years. And today, YouTube is a lot of pay-to-play, right? Whereas what you do as Firework for Business is there's no play-to-play involved over here because the content is on the brand's website. The assumption here is the consumer is already on the brand's website. So I want to point out for audience, this is not a pay-to-play platform of any sort. This is an actual platform and a technology to enable a brand to be able to create engaging content in the time period that a consumer engages in to be able to publish at scale. How did I do, Vincent? Did I get that right?
You get that 100% right. So now I wanted to add a few data points to it. So, you know, my major is mathematics, so I love to quote some data. All right. You remember we talk a lot about 6 seconds. We talk about customer attention spend on Snapchat ads in average is about 1.3 seconds. All right. So all of the brands that uses Fiverr on their website, something interesting happens. What we are seeing is that people engaging with the short video content on their very own website for 2 minutes, right? 120 seconds, right? And then you're like, why? How come? It's the same content. Why? Because I'm already on your side, right? Let's say if the website is a men's warehouse, I'm already have intent. So this is a very important piece. We recently just hired a global head of sales from Snapchat, so called Jeff Lucas. So when he joined us, we had a discussion. He said, you know, Vincent, when I was in Snapchat, we are selling interruptions. Every ad is an interruption, right? You interrupted me from watching a content. You interrupted me from seeing what my friends are doing every day. I'm not coming here to buy a clothes. I'm not coming here to buy a coffee. However, if a coffee website use Shortfeed on their own website, then it's a total difference. I'm coming here to buy something. I'm already here. So right now, show me the stuff as if you are doing things offline in a short video ways. That's what we've seen. Engagement time is much longer. And then we will later talk about live streams. We have one client selling underwear online, right? She used to do a lot of things on social. She just could not get people to engage with that, right? And then they have a TikTok account, but they just cannot get even more than 10 people to follow them. Be on TikTok doesn't mean you have traffic. It's totally opposite, right? Now they're starting to do live stream on their website. Yesterday they did a live stream. You won't believe the number. People engage with their website for 5 minutes and 30 seconds. And when they're watching the live streams, and then Fiverr empowers also to allow them to shop, to buy. We have the shop now button right away. Guess what's the add to cart shopping ratio? Average add to cart ratio for an e-commerce branded website is about 1%. But using our technology to do it, but of course, content matters, right? When they do the authentic content, we get to 19.6%, 20 times, right? And why? Who did the live stream? There's no influencer. There's no celebrity. Nobody do 10 backflips. No one do that. It's basically a sales assistant and actually the owner herself is very authentically, empathetically talking about, this is my brand. This is why I'm doing this. Let me show it to you right now. They used to sell offline, but now given the pandemic, all their offline stores are closed, right? Now she was moving all to online. She was literally doing a live stream. She turned her living room into a live stream studio. Can you imagine that? That's something that made me very excited.
You know, but the number you quoted is a very powerful number. Like you're talking about 1/5 in that particular example. You know, I've spent a lot of time in this space all the way up and down the funnel, you know, right from the acquisition all the way down to the conversion, not just the add to cart, because you got a step right after that, which is to close the sale with the consumer. But that 20% number is a record-breaking phenomenon, like stop the press, folks. Yeah. Like that means 1/5 of those that showed up for the live stream are going forward with the add to cart, like step one of closing the sale, right? Some percent of that will actually go through the checkout experience and take it. But when you're starting with such a large number to begin with, the conversion funnel, which is closer to 0.3, is automatically going to be elevated like at least 10x to like the 3, 5, 7% range, right? Which is like pretty incredible if you ask me. But the big question I'd ask you, Vincent, is for a brand, right? Classically, they're trained, most brands are trained on how to do this on the CPC model, and that's what the investment is thought of and the yield is thought of. You know, in this, my guess is, and I'd like you to decompose it for the audience, in terms of an investment with Firework, it's the platform. It's not the clicks and the number of content pieces being put on. Just to help us understand how that model works with you.
Yes. So our pricing model is a software fee. It's the same thing how people use, you know, HubSpot, use Shopify, etc. Ranges from how much traffic, how many live stream they're going to do. Some of the clients do live stream once every day. Some of the clients do once every week. Right. So based on that, our price ranges from $5,000 a year all the way to actually $1 million a year. We have huge clients paying us $1 million a year for infrastructure. Not only would we software, all the streaming, all the hosting is all on Firework, so they don't need to build anything themselves. We spend about $15 million every year building the global streaming infrastructure to allow ultra low latency streaming, so that our clients doesn't need to, because building a live stream infrastructure is quite expensive, right? So that's why we do all of those. But in average, our clients, when they use that, they're able to see an ROI for about 10 to 20 times because they're able to double, triple, quadruple their conversion rate for the D2C brands. That's actually very, very important for them.
I want to recap something you said earlier, Vincent, about, and Sri referenced it, right? The marketing funnel. The reason your solution is substantially more powerful on a brand marketing site than in social media is where the consumer is entering the marketing funnel in the experience, right? You mentioned that in an interruption, they're way at the top of the funnel, so their attention isn't there. When they get to the site, they are already in evaluation mode, right? They're much closer to the consideration. So because they're in that consideration, in Amazon terms, right? They've done the glance view, they're on the PDP, and now they're really considering the contents there. That's where your solution is so desperately needed by all these sites that are still doing text and image based solutions, because they don't have the right medium to address that part of the funnel.
Yeah, exactly. Peter, let me put another way to think about this. A lot of people, again, ever say, how is it different from TikTok? How is it different from Facebook? I'm like, look, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, they will deliver you a click, right? And their journey ends when they give you a click. It's a, here's a click. They come to the website. My job is over. Whether the click converts or not, I don't give a damn. It's your problem. I just give you a click. For Firewire, when you got a click onto the website, our journey just started. See, our journey is, okay, we got a client, we got a consumer and coming to the website, right? Before you use Firewire, coming to the website doesn't mean convert. Conversion rate is 0.2% from a casual visitor to final shoppers, right? Then Firewire take it from there. It's about, okay, now how do you engage with it? Also, the content is different. The reason why a lot of business, right? Because when you do content on TikTok and Instagram, you know what type of content works? You have to do extreme stuff. You have to yell. Think about how you get attention in the farmer's market. How do you get attention? You have to yell so loud. You have to do crazy stuff. I've seen brands trying to do backflip 10 times to do crazy stuff just to get one follower, right? But that's why they think, oh, we need to very expensive. But when people on your website, you don't need to do any of that. I'm already here. I'm already listening at your counter. Okay, now all you need, don't sell me anything. Just show me. Show me what are you selling. How is it beneficial? Show it to me as a real person doing things offline. That's the difference.
Peter, on the farmer's market thing, what I would say is they don't have to do backflips and they don't have to bring jugglers. They can just talk to the CPG guys. And the CPG guys can help, no problem. If you want bad
Sri,
attention,
does this mean that we don't have to?
I'm just kidding. I'm
does
kidding.
This mean we don't have to juggle flaming bowling balls?
That's Sunday afternoon career, Peter. We can finally give it up.
Okay.
Others are doing it pretty well, but you know, right up front, Peter. I know you said we're going to do a 2-part series. Right up, what I want to do when we come back, Vincent, for part two is like get into the technology aspects, right? This is a large part of this is hosting a live platform. It can't fail. It's got to be fail-proof, not fail-proof 98%, like 100%. Because the death of brand equity is a failed video stream trying to drive brand equity. But we'll get back to the tech aspects next time and we'll take a deeper dive into it, right? But I want to jump a little bit into agencies versus brands and how your relationship works. Like when I say agencies, I mean media agencies who tend to anchor a lot of these outcomes for the brands, right? Do you see an even split in the work you do? Do you work exclusively with agencies? Is it brands always a client? Like, how does that work for Firework?
We work with both. So what we find is about, you know, because Firework, we are not a TikTok. Our goal is not becoming a walled gardens, right? Agency do not like walled gardens because, you know, what happened, Google and Facebook, they all publicly announced they want to cut out the middleman. Because this is kind of B-School 101. When vendor side is consolidated to three, right, and a big budget like PepsiCo and CPG, there are five of them, you don't need a middleman, right? But for Firewire, it's very different because we're long tail to long tail. We're helping them to do all the open web. So what we find, we're in discussion with a lot of the top agencies, right? What we find is we just go there because, you know, all the agency, by the way, I've seen they're also innovating. Most of the agencies are all coming with, some agency has the shop commerce team. Some agency have the digital transformation team. They're going upstream, right? Not just about doing a media buy. They're going way upstream to advise their brands about how do you transform your brands in the pandemic eras? How do you do that in this Q4? They're doing lots of very interesting things, because originally people might think, yeah, they're the middleman. They're not. They're actually trying to do very interesting stuff there. Now, Fiverr just helped them to do even better, because now not only can offer strategic advice, now they can offer a concrete solution. So that's why we partner a lot with agencies. But there are so many other brands that's not represented by agency. Those are the ones that we just go direct.
That's great. Let me finish off our questioning for this episode, Vincent, with just talking about where the future is going. You have had successful funding. Crunchbase will tell me it's somewhere in the $120 million range. I'll let you dispute that if you want. But you've really got some great investors with experience, you know, in this, certainly in the B2C space around Snapchat, music.ly, and some other really big activities. I want to understand where you are in the funding process. Are you looking to get another round? And if so, what is the purpose of it? And where do you see you investing in making this platform even more robust than it is right now?
Yes. So that's a very good question. So right now we have raised enough. So to give an example, just this year, we hired over almost close to 100 people just in this year. So a lot of people so far. So right now we are very well funded, but we are definitely talking to a lot more strategic and interested. It's the same thing for a long time. People, all eyes is on Walmart and Amazon until people realize, wait, there's this thing called Shopify. You don't see that existence, but it existed everywhere. Right now, we're in the stage of more and more companies starting to notice there's something that is very different there, the B2B version of TikTok starting coming. So, you know, they're starting to talk. We're already in discussion with a few big strategic for more, not for pure money, but more for strategic investment that can really offer value to us, right? And our goal is, so for example, last quarter, we already served 4 billion shoppable video and live stream views last quarter in a very big ways. So we already cover about 600 million people a month for the people that every single consumer that we can impact. Exactly. So that's why our engineering team, our backend team is already very well tested with huge numbers, right? Our engineering team is led by a gentleman who formerly runs and builds the Alibaba live streams. So we are very well tested for all the big loads, et cetera. Right now, we just wanted to go all the way up. Our goal is about in 6 months to reach to 1 billion people a month. That's our goal.
Wow, that is absolutely terrific. I want to remind our audience that all of our content are historical podcasts that are approaching 125. There is links to our Instagram account, our Twitter account, our TikTok account, and other content we've published, and even to our LinkedIn profiles, our LinkedIn page. You can get there by going to cpgguys.com and get all that. And also, we are an audience-driven podcast. We want your feedback. Best way for you to do that, go to ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. Click on the Apple platform and write a review. And while you're there, they let you leave a star rating. I mean, I'm a big fan of the number 5, but it's entirely up to you what you want to do. But please do, we want your feedback. We want to be responsive to having on really great guests and talking about really interesting topics like we did today. And we're going to do that by you giving us that feedback. Vincent, this was phenomenal. I mean, I'm really excited about this. I can tell Sri is equally excited. And we're looking forward to episode 2 when we kind of look under the hood and check out the engine and talk about. But what I'm just so excited about is you're bringing to the you know, for a brand, what their most important presence is on the web, and making it as rich an experience that really drives conversion, that they've been missing for so long. This is terrific. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. And all the question is very inspiring. I really like this conversation.
Sri, what do you think?
I had a really good time, Peter, today, because you know I'm all over this digital media advertising space, and I deeply believe in my heart, I've publicly said this at keynotes, the 6-second human captivation in a marketing engine is one of the most important transformations of our industry. But I'll be the first one to tell you, Peter, the industry is largely ignoring that. So in my eyes, the ROI of the ad is shrinking by the day. And just because the attribution is so complicated, we're letting it pass. But what a good way here, like you can actually jump to it when you create content that way first and then measure the full funnel attribution all the way to the add to cart to the checkout cycle to what actually got sold, right? So now you're putting me in my home turf, fun stuff to discuss, Peter. But for our audience, there is a Easter egg hidden in the resources section of the firework.tv website because you can go meet Ashton Kutcher as he talks to Steve Jobs, I believe. So go check out the Easter egg hidden there, but you can also go check out, join their webinars to learn, and a ton of content on fashion and beauty. Easter egg,
this
my friend.
This is great. Can't wait for episode 2, which is coming up in October, on October 9th. But in the meantime, we want to thank our audience for following us. Hope you have a tremendous Labor Day weekend this 2021. I know Sri and I are going to be busy preparing for moving trucks arriving to drop off all our property so we can actually live on something other than just paper plates and sitting on the floor. So, Sri, thank you so much, as always, for joining me on this journey. It is an absolute blast. Everybody, look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.